5:04 on a Tuesday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia. 1240 in Roanoke, 93.3, 1320 in Lynchburg, 730 South Side, and 1350 in beautiful Bedford, Virginia. Folks, welcome to the show. We've got a dandy coming your way. Aaron McFarlane coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll talk a lot about the Hoos and the Hokies. That game set for Black Friday. And
yes,
I'm trying to find the right words, and I can't.
Why not?
Because it's a hard game to describe, as far as I'm concerned. How would you summarize that game in a nutshell?
I don't know if I can do it in a nutshell.
I was having trouble doing it. I just wanted to come out with a couple quick.
All right, it's a game that everything says Virginia should win except recent history. And by recent, I mean the last 14 years. I mean, they look like the better team. They play better all throughout the year. They've had a more reliable defense. Their offense has been better, or at least as consistent. They've made adjustments, and they've been mentally locked in for this game and throughout the entire season. But there's a mental hurdle that they have to get through.
Do you think they do it?
I'm not picking them.
Sorry. You're not? You refuse?
I refuse. It's a principal play.
Until they win, you won't pick them.
Nope, not happening.
We have Gary Gramlin coming up in a little bit as well. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We're shuffling the schedule because we're on today and tomorrow, and that's it.
So
we're not going on Friday at 5 o'clock in the middle of the game.
So we'll talk a little Turkey Day football with Gary Gramling and about last night's just unbelievable. What a fun football game to watch.
Back and forth, back and forth.
I'll tell you the crazy part about it, because they referenced fantasy football at least a few times in the broadcast last night.
Mm-hmm.
And from a fantasy football perspective, you know what stood out to me?
What?
Even the defenses scored a lot of points. And normally that doesn't happen when you give up 50-something.
Yeah, but there were some turnovers in there.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, normally when you see huge offensive performances on both sides, you don't see good defensive performances. But from a fantasy football perspective, there were plenty of turnovers, even touchdowns scored by the defense, sacks, fumbles, interceptions. I know those are covered by turnovers. But there was something for everyone from a fantasy perspective, unless you had Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
And screw the Chiefs for starting them and then like not playing them ever again. Just tell people you ain't going to play. That would have been fine with me, Ed.
They pumped a lot of money into a guy that they're not going to play.
Well, but if he's hurt and he's only going to play a series, I mean, like the very first series he's out there, they're like, yeah, he's limping pretty bad. Like, why play him? But alas, that's just another complaint from Rich's B-word.
Yeah, because everybody cares about your fantasy
team. They
do.
They should.
That's one of my favorite things is when people act like you should care about their fantasy team.
I'm like Cody.
Cody, huh? Yeah.
On Levitard Show.
Yes, Greg Cody.
He's great. But anyway, back to Virginia and Virginia Tech. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so I'll make my pick a little bit later on in the show after we talk with Gary Gramling. But lots of football here today, and Aaron McFarlane coming up, uno momento. And we'll get his thoughts on, man, Tech. You know, we just keep talking about it. I feel like a broken record.
What do you mean?
Well, that it's the same thing every week.
Bad defense, no improvements, can't get it together.
I mean, blown out by a pretty bad Miami team that had lost, what, four straight?
Yes.
And they roll into Blacksburg and just trash the Hokies at the Ed. Where, by the way, you pointed this out to me yesterday, the Hokies have not won in Blacksburg since it's been affectionately deemed the Ed.
Damn right. I mean, hey, if they want to relax their media availability policies, this might change. But I'm thoroughly hoping that Virginia wins on Friday night, just so that they can go into the entire offseason having been cursed by the Ed.
You're hoping the Hokies lose at the stadium named after you.
I mean, it's named after me directly because that's what a collection of people in Sportsline lore have decided is going to be the case. So let's clarify
that.
Come on,
man. Ed Lade Stadium.
No, it's the Ed. I didn't come up with that, but I'll run with it for the sake of the show, Rich. I'm taking one for team here. Yes. Team Sportsline.
Yes, very good. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend. But, you know, and last week you got on me a little bit. Because you didn't like the term that I used describing the Hokie season as a train wreck. And then
they lost. And then Miami comes in there and beats them, and now I'm okay with it because Miami's awful.
Are you okay with it now?
I am okay with it.
Because I was going to say, what if it happens? You know, what if Virginia breaks the 14 games losing streak? They go into the Ed, they get the W, and then they end the other streak as well. Tech with the second longest streak in college football right now in terms of active, you know, consecutive game streak going to bowl games at 25. Florida State's got, what, 36?
Yes.
And both of them are in jeopardy. But I was wondering. You know, if they lose to Virginia, if all these streaks end, at that point, can we call it a train wreck? But you're ready to do it now. Just after the beatdown of Miami.
Dude, Miami's offense is horrible. They're in disarray. Now they've got nepotism. You got the coach who hires his son, and you can't get rid of him because
they got rid of the preacher.
My son, because, well, it's so ridiculous. I mean, look, seriously, if there's one thing that drives me more nuts than anything, it's this idea where the dad thinks the son is so great, and everyone else thinks the son sucks, and dad doesn't want to see what everyone else sees because he's trying to be the good, faithful, hard father. If you want to be the good, faithful, hard father, give him a hard dose of reality and tell him, you know what? Life doesn't always work with daddy getting to set you up for everything unless I actually own the business. And guess what? When you coach a program, as much authority as you might have, you are not the owner of the state university or the private college and institution. Doesn't work that way. Sorry, Bill Snyder at Kansas, the old guy who wants to get his son to be the head coach. Really? That's what he's angling for? Good for K-State if at the end of the year they say, screw you, old fart. Get out of here. We're going to go through a real coaching search.
Why do you have to be that mean?
Because somebody's got to step up to these guys, in particular dads, who have the idea that being a good dad is making sure my son gets what he wants. No, being a good dad is helping your son prepare himself to handle the real world. And sometimes that means he doesn't get what he wants. And sometimes it means he has to stand in line and do it the hard way like everybody else.
And folks, keep in mind, Ed knows what he's talking about. He's been a dad for 2 months now.
No, it's four, Rich. Get it right. In fact, 4.5.
Wait, I'm going to count it double because you have twins.
Yeah, 8.5, 9 months. Thank goodness. I mean, my goodness.
How many years does it feel like?
It feels like an eternity.
He doesn't mean it, Mead. He doesn't mean it.
Oh, my goodness.
Do we have Aaron McFarlane?
We got Aaron. We have Mark from Lower Boonesboro, but he may have to wait.
Yeah, so. Mark from Lower Boonesboro is going to have to wait. We've got Aaron McFarlane, great columnist, Roanoke Times, presented each and every week by the good folks at Jersey Lily's Roadhouse, Chicken Fried Steak, Chicken Fried Chicken, Ed Loves the Salad, all kinds of good stuff over there, and we thank them for sponsoring our good friend Aaron McFarlane here on the Sportsline. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, guys. I have two comments regarding Ed's last rant. Okay, number one, without the name Snyder, there's no such thing as Manhattan, Kansas. We've never heard of it. I mean, there's no Kansas State program at all. That's a special fiefdom where they're allowed to do whatever the heck they want over there in terms of nepotism or anything else. But I do agree with your second point. I've always told my children, I have two of them, I've told them, I'm not going to give you everything, all right? You're going to have to go out and gamble for it and win it fair and square at the table, okay? Or via sportsbook. You're going to have to go and do it your own self. I'm not going to get it for you, all right? It's going to be something you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
And I think they've accepted that. They've accepted the hard work ethic of the McFarland clan, and we're going to move forward as a family.
Here's the big issue with what I've got right now, this conversation.
What?
I now look like the best father in the bunch. And that's problematic.
Why is that? Is there something you need to tell us about some new hires here at the Virginia Talk Radio Network?
No, I'm just saying, I mean, with you and your deal at Aaron's, you got to gamble it yourself. I always tell my young children, they got to gamble. I look like a good father now, and I want to thank you guys for that.
Got to gamble? Isn't that what the McFarlings teach, too?
Well, that's what he was saying. Were you not listening?
I mean, look, I was just trying to reinforce it.
Well, you're welcome. But also, like, yeah, I mean, Hannah knows how to slow play her aces. I mean, she's not gonna go all in right away with her aces. She knows what to do. I mean, this is the thing. You've got to prepare your young children for the future, and I think I've done that.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. Aaron McFarling, Gambling 101. Gambling for Teens 101.
Like
order it now.
Order it now.
Order it now. Download it now to your phones. Hey, Aaron, we had this conversation last week. I didn't mean anything specifically by this, but I called the Hokies season a train wreck. And Ed jumped all over me, but now Ed's kind of come around a little bit after what we saw this past weekend at the Ed. How bad are things in Blacksburg?
I think that's a very fair term to use. Why not? I mean, it has been. I mean, we're seeing things we've never seen before. We've never seen a four-game losing streak at Lane Stadium. That's something to note. That's a train wreck right there. We're seeing transfers right before the Virginia game, which transfers happen. As I noted in my column today, both of these quarterbacks that we'll see on Friday are transfers. I mean, it's not the end of the world if somebody leaves, but to have two of them happen right before the Virginia game, when all you have to do is stick around for four more days, you know, that's troubling. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for fans to be upset out here in Blacksburg, and I don't normally, like, side with the whole Chicken Little crowd. Like, I don't say, like, hey, it's a good time to panic or it's a good time to worry about the fate of the program. I mean, you guys, we've talked. I mean, last week I still felt pretty good about where this program was going to go moving forward. But it's not good right now. I mean, it's just there's a lot of bad things, and there's one way to solve it, and that is to beat Virginia on Friday and make everybody feel better at least for one day until they lose to Marshall next week. That was a joke. I don't know if it was possible, but it's good. I mean, it's very popular.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something, and you know who would hurt the most, I think, is Virginia fans. I mean, the Virginia fans, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
This is what it is.
There are a lot of possibilities here in these last couple of weeks of the season, and I'm here for all of them, man. I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
That's a wild scenario, that they would spend $300,000 to lose to Marshall to be eliminated from bowl contention when they're specifically paying for the right to get to a bowl. That'd be
exactly. I mean, that's an unprecedented thing. We've not seen that here, where they've tried to you know, they've had to go out and schedule an extra game. So there's a lot of things we haven't seen that are coming to pass one right after the other, and so it makes for interesting copy, I guess. I mean, you know, there's no boredom right now. Let's put it that way. There's no ho hum, just another game in Blacksburg. These are all monumental affairs, every single one of them.
Aaron McFarling, Roanoke.com, with us here on the Sports Line, presented by Jersey Lilies. Aaron, the game itself, does Virginia need to blow Virginia Tech out and not leave this thing to chance?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't. The one thing about Virginia Tech right now that I haven't seen is they're not forcing turnovers. You know, they're not disruptive defensively. They had about even total yardage against Miami last week, and as you mentioned, Ed, Miami's offense is not very good. So I mean, that and they got some of their pieces back. The Hokies did on defense, so they looked better on defense. But they're still not just like, you know, coming in there and sacking the quarterback and making them fumble or picking people off because of pressure. And you know, Foster talked about that yesterday at the press conference. You know, he said he's had to dial back some of the pressure because he doesn't trust all the coverages from the young guys, you know, in the secondary. And I get that, but I think this is a time where you just gotta roll the dice, man. You gotta throw pressure at people. You gotta try all sorts of different disguises and coverages and things like that to try and make something happen. No, I don't think Virginia needs to blow Virginia Tech out. I mean, I think the biggest thing would be to gain the lead early, you know, because I think that not only is that make the fan base in Blacksburg sort of sigh and go, oh gosh, you know, here we go again, another loss at home probably, and this one's worse than them all because it's Virginia, but it also alleviates that here we go again feeling from Virginia. If the Cavaliers were to fall behind, I can see them thinking to themselves, well, it's been 14 in a row. Maybe it's going to happen again. I mean, I think the first touchdown or the first score of this game, even if it's a field goal, is a very, very big deal, a much bigger deal than any other game this year. I mean, the Hokies marched right down the field and took a 7-0 lead on Miami, but nobody thought, well, that means they're going to win this game. I mean, it just doesn't have that feel. But with Virginia, it would feel more like, wow, you know, let's put Virginia Tech as a 70-30% favorite to win this game if they get the lead.
Yeah, kind of a here we go again type of deal.
Right, from both sides. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Aaron McFarlane joining us here on the Sports Line. Aaron, you referenced the transfers that have popped up recently. Touch on those a little bit more and the mentality around the Hokies as far as the team in the locker room goes.
Yeah, again, I think it's the timing more than the fact that they're transferring. If they had waited, let's say the Hokies lose this week, and after the loss, both Rico Kearney and Sean Savoy say, we're heading out of here. You know, we're gone. We're going to look for new opportunities. Yes, Virginia Tech's disappointed. Yes, the fan base is disappointed. Yes, that lessens the depth on two of your stronger units, which would be, you know, going forward, linebacker and wide receiver are both units that you feel pretty good about going forward. But for it to happen now, when it's like, okay, if you could just hang around for four more days, and you know, help us beat this, is I'm talking like a coach here, not me, but like Bud Foster being like, you know, Rico, if you could just hang around for four more days and help us beat Virginia, you know, then go on your merry way. It's kind of odd that they wouldn't wait for that. You know, they both said in their prepared statements that you know, they wish the program nothing but the best and all those things, but it just feels like the way the state the program is in, they could use all hands on deck, and to not be able to wait one more week, I think is the biggest bummer for Tech fans out there who are like, well, you know, that must have been really serious. You know, it's not just not getting playing time; they're very disgruntled. You know, they're not grumpled at all. They're anti-grumpled. So, you know, I think they're in good shape at those positions. Again, I think that's part of the reason those two guys are transferring. I think Rico, you know, looked at Dax Holyfield and says, you know, every time I open the paper, I read all these great things that Bud Foster is saying about Dax Holyfield. It's going to be really hard to overtake him. And I think Sean Savoy, he's had his issues with drops, and he's had his issues with the coach is kind of calling him out on his effort and his work ethic and those kinds of things in the past. They've said that he's done better this year, but, I mean, he looks out there and he sees all these bigger, stronger wide receivers who've got lots of eligibility left and says, well, maybe I need to go somewhere else too. So I get – both of those transfers actually make fine sense. Maybe not Kearney as much as Savoy does, but in the end, it's the timing of them that troubles you.
Aaron McFarling, Roanoke.com, with us here on the Sports Line. Does that give you reason to believe that there are maybe more long-term issues at work here for this program that extend beyond just the gruntled or disgruntled or whatever word you should use to describe this season?
You know, losing is tough. I mean, people don't like losing, and losing blows things up. We just haven't seen it around here forever. Now, I will say this. I was reading Mark Berman's look back at the 14-game winning streak for Virginia Tech in this series, and he kind of did a little capsule on each of the victories. And it had a quote at the end after each of those victories. And, of course, three of the last four Frank games, they had to win in order to extend the bowl streak. You know, I had kind of forgotten that they were 5-6 going into three of those last four games. That is pretty sobering to think about when you say, you know, that this program has been consistent and you know, it never drops off and all those things. Well, yeah, it did. I mean, it was close to disaster, and Virginia had an opportunity each of those times to really stick it to the Hokies and wasn't able to do that. So this is the best opportunity yet they've had, being a 4-point favorite, being, you know, and it feels like more than that, I think. For those of us who've been watching the Hokies week after week, it just feels like more than a 4-point line. I mean, it feels almost like a titanic effort that it would be required for Virginia Tech to win this game. But as I noted in my column today, you know, Virginia week is different, and that's what Virginia Tech needs right now, because they just need something to break up the Groundhog Day misery of the last 4 weeks. And really the last 7 weeks, you know, by and large, with the exception of, you know, getting that miracle win at UNC, which is a 2-win club. So, I mean, this is as interesting, I got to be honest, this is as interesting as I've seen. I've been around here 18 years covering and being around this program, in terms of the storyline being a big for Virginia Tech. This feels like a program altering week. Not just a, you know, season-altering week. This feels like this could kind of set the course for where you're heading as a program going forward.
Just another minute or two left with Aaron McFarling, great columnist for the Roanoke Times, presented by Jersey Lily's Roadhouse. Aaron, tell Virginia fans why this week will be different.
Well, I mean, on the podcast that Mike and I did this week, I picked Virginia 30-20, I think it was. I mean, I've been to several Virginia games this year. I like what Virginia's all about. They feel organized. You know, there's some backlash for them not having players talk, but I understand, like, kind of the whole idea of what's left to say. You know, we've got to do something. So that whole idea of them making this a priority the whole year, so it's not like jumping up on you late in the season where you're like, well, now we got to turn it up a notch. No, they've had it, you know, up to 10 the whole time about Virginia Tech. So I think they're mentally prepared. They've got a quarterback that they haven't had since maybe Marcus Hagans, you know, in terms of being able to come at you multiple ways and beat you multiple ways, and Virginia Tech struggles to stop running quarterbacks. So there's a lot of reasons to like, and just the fact that Virginia Tech's been playing worse than I've seen them ever play. I mean, this is as bad as they've been since I've been around. And you know, you probably got to go back to the early 1990s, the early years of Frank, since they've been this vulnerable. It's now or never. Virginia. I mean, that's basically what I would say to Virginia fans, and I think they know that. I'm going to be really interested to see what kind of crowd we got, you know, in terms of the split, because in Scott Stadium in recent years, it's been a lot of Hokie fans have bought those tickets. I'm not sure that Virginia is going to be able to do the same thing, but if you're a Virginia fan, these are the tickets you probably want, right? I mean, you want these tickets in Blacksburg, and you're probably willing to pay pretty good money for them.
All right, Aaron, that's going to do it. I thought Ed was going to ask a question, but he's telling me we have to kick you off.
Oh, really?
You were stupefied by my brilliant prose there.
No, I loved it.
I wanted to end on a high note, Aaron.
And him
well, what's
picking,
a high note? I mean, that's a high note for Virginia fans. Well, I mean, you know, this rivalry is going to be a high note for somebody. I know that. Somebody's going to be partying on Friday night. But I'm just, you know, if Virginia Tech wins this game, which, I'm not predicting, but if they do, that party in Blacksburg will be the biggest release you've seen from this program, you know, in 2 decades.
Until they lose to Marshall.
Right. And so stay tuned for the big letdown a week later. Of course. Yeah, I mean, it would just be par for the course, man. It would be par for the course. That's... It's been a crazy season, and I can't say I've enjoyed every step of the way, but I'm enjoying right now. This is very interesting to me.
Aaron, thank you, man. A pleasure as always. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we look forward to catching up again next week. Thanks.
All right, you too. See you guys.
Aaron McFarlane, great columnist. Roanoke Times.
What?
Sorry, didn't mean to throw you under the bus. I thought you were going to ask a question.
I would never do that.
And I look up and you're giving me the time. Get him off.
Well, we got Gary Gramling coming up.
I know. Lots of good Thanksgiving Day football.
Yes, we have three intriguing matchups.
I know Vegas is not looking forward to this.
They're not.
No. No, because apparently on Thanksgiving, people always bet heavily on the favorites. And Vegas is not really liking the underdogs this week. As a matter of fact, I was reading somewhere. Should have had this conversation with Aaron. But I was reading somewhere that the Saints play who? The Falcons, right?
Correct.
They were saying that, you know, the line should be nowhere near what it is. But they boosted it that much because they know everybody's going to bet the Saints.
So they just artificially inflated the line.
Well, I mean, you know how it works. It's not really artificially inflated if people bet it up. Because you're just trying to get equal money on both teams. But they're saying the real line should probably be 3 or 4 points lower than what it is. But they got to do what they got to do.
I mean, hey, it's a business.
They be Vegas. You know all about that with Lane's Lines and all.
I mean, look, professional operations know what you got to do. Lane's Lines had a really good week last week. 17.5 points. JFEC class. I can't believe it's that high. What do they know?
Way too high.
It's way too high. Could have put it at 20 and been fine.
Well, been fine in terms of what?
Everybody else taking the... We would have made money. Everyone else is taking the under.
Getting equal money on both sides?
Taking the under. We're just taking money from the people.
You know,
everybody kept saying, that's too high. Every week you have different goals for Lane's Lines. Don't worry about that. What does Lane's Lines have to know?
Don't worry about I thought you wanted equal money on both sides.
Goals. They can change. We move them around quite a bit.
Gary Gravling, SI.com. Next. Stay tuned.